I'm from England, I like it when it's dry in the 90s.
It's wonderful.
Okay. We're going to start with the Gemara Havaye. In Soto on Chesam Mubei, Omer Aleph. Nachtin and Havaye says this is the way the halacha is. Lishnayim means what?
Two
Kohanim. If they're two Kohanim, it's Korei Kohanim. The question is going to be, that's going to be the issue we want to discuss today. Who exactly is declaring, is yelling at Kohanim here? Uli Echad, what if there's only one Kohen? Is Eino Korei Kohen? There's no need to say Kohen. You might have thought, let's scream out Kohen on behalf of one Kohen. There's no such requirement. Shenemar, and Abai derives this halacha from a pasuk. We shouldn't be mezalzel in this issue of saying kohanim. It's not the lav milsa zuchasahi. Abai derives from a pasuk. And mar lahem, lahem means so exactly who's calling out kohanim? Let's take a look at two rashis, and I think they're both all of the kanech. First Rashi says l'shnayim korei kohanim kishyesham shnei kohanim levarech shliach tzivuk shegomar. You have to add some commas over here. If there are two kohanim levarech, comma, then shliach tzivur again, this is going to connect to the word korei, but in the middle you have to set aside two commas. He says shliach tzivuk kishegomar birchas hodah. As soon as he says Hatov Shimchol Lechan Elodos, he completed the Birkas Hodah, then Korei Osam Kohanim. So clearly, according to Rashi, who's calling out Kohanim? The Shliach Tzvi. You call the Baal Tefillah? Okay, I don't care whatever you call him. I'll use Rashi's language. Shliach Tzvi. No, I'll tell you why. I think there's a love to say in this Rashi, calling him a Shliach Tzvi. The name Shliach Tzibur means that literally he is the Shliach of the Tzibur. And Rashi doesn't want any other people getting involved here other than the Shliach Tzibur. And I think Rashi is very consistent. If you take a look at the next Rashi, Amar Lahem, Rashi says Mikra de Lahem from the Pasuk. Mikra, right? Again, it's a little bit tricky. Mikra, right? The Mi is just a prefix, but the word is Kra. From the Pasuk, did. Again, the Dalit is a prefix. Lahem, right, in inverted commas, meaning that's the pasuk, and more Lahem. Nafkalon, we derive that who's going to call the Kohanim? Shliach Tzibur, Mazir Osan Levar. I think, although I'm not convinced, but I think that Rambam is also on the same page as Rashi, because the Rambam, like Rashi, puts all the emphasis here on the Shliach Tzibur. The Rambam doesn't mention any other personality here besides the Shliach Tzibur and the Kohen. Obviously we need a Tzibur, but what I mean to say, who's actively involved is the Shliach Tzibur.
He asked if that's the Baal
Tefillah. I didn't say anything.
What
does
Rashi say?
They have a rule that Rashi was allowed to speak for 2 minutes before you pounce. We hear what Machmir
said. Where does it come from? Lahem.
Later on,
it comes from Lahem. If you want to say it's the Shliach Tzibur, it comes from Omar.
Right. No, but Lahem teaches you that it's got to be a bit of a cavity of two cards.
Yeah, but.
So Amar Lahem, Mikra, Rashi says, De Lahem, Nafkalon. That it's got to be Lahem.
Right. No, the Rashi is not being Madgish the Shlich Zibur. He's Madgish Mazir Otan, Osan.
Right.
That's why you learn from Lahem.
But it's got to be the Shlich Zibur, right? So the obligation of Amar Lahem is incumbent upon whom?
How does he prove that?
I don't know how he proves let's just see Rabbi Tam. We'll see that Rabbi Tam is going to argue about
this. We were observing, and I don't know if we should waste if this is part of the shiur, not Rabbi, but we were observing why Rashi was throwing in the whole part about which way the Kohanim are facing. Because it is irrelevant to the discussion of Shtayim or Echad. So Rashi was adding more information than he needed to for this, and was that to teach us that a Yachid doesn't face the Teva first, only a Shnayim do, and therefore he's trying to tell you that it's...
I don't know. That's a whole another discussion. You brought it up, Avi, last week about the Hofchim Pnayim. Okay, now who disagrees with Rashi and, if you will, the Rambam? Tos in the name of Rabbi Natan. We're going to see soon that one of the Balei HaTosfos, that's Rabbeinu Yehuda, he's going to tone it down a little bit. That maybe Rabbeinu Tam is not that far away from Rashi. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, this is on the third line of HaTosfos, the Kros Kohanim LeDuchan, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, She'en Shliach Tzibur Yochel LeKorom.
What?
You see that? That according to Rabbeinu Tam, it cannot be the Shliach Tzibur who's calling Kohanim. Dechashiv hafsaka l'tfila. That would constitute a hafsaka to his tfila. That is a very, very harsh accusation here against Rashi. That if the Shliach Tzibur were to call out Kohanim, that would consist of what? A hafsaka in tfila im korah. So what do we do now according to Rabbeinu Tam? I mean, after all, Amar Abaye Naktinon Lishnayim Korei Kohanim. So we have to call them up. Emar Lohem, right? Emar. So who is going to implement Emar? Ella says Rabbeinu Tam Echad Vibnei Hakol. It's got to be a member of the community of the call, of the audience. Korah, of the minion. Correct. Korah. V'hadi amina b'sota. What about our sugya of Abaye in Masechta Sota? L'shnayim korei kohanim. So who's called yet kohanim? Says Rabbeinu Tam, lav ha-shliach tzibur koi. This is not a reference to the shliach tzibur. Ela achazon. This is a reference to the chazon. He's the one who's calling the kohanim to order, so to speak. Kedesanya b'sifri emor lahem melamed shachazon omer lahem
im.
Now you and I would have said that the chazon is the same as the shliach tzibur. No, says Rabbeinu Tam, when the Shas wants to refer to the shliach tzibur, the Gemara knows how to call him by his name. He's the shliach tzibur. The word chazan lav hainu shliach tzibur. Chazan is a different personality, a different individual. The chazan hainu hamisasek b'tzorchei tzibur. I think we would call it what? It's the gabbai. So everything, you know, a lot of language here, the terminology changes here. We would call the chazan the shliach tzibur. Rabbeinu Tam says the chazan is not the shliach tzibur. We would have called the chazan by the name a gabbai, but he calls it the chazan. That's what he sees in this sifri. And Rabbeinu Tam says, it's got to be that way. It has to be someone other than the shliach tzibur because of the problem of what? Of hafsaka. He doesn't want a hafsaka litfi. Now he has another support text. He says, v'chein mashmanami v'sota delava shliach tzibur koi d'me'ikara ka'amar ena kohanim rashoim lahaskil b'bracha ad shiyach yichle hadibur mipi ha'kore. In other words, when the kohanim want to start the bracha, yivarechacha, they should wait, be very careful to wait and not to begin until the kore calls upon them, and only after he finishes calling them kohanim, then and only then should they respond by beginning
the
bracha itself. Pirish hakorei kohanim, v'achkach omer, and then it seems that the Gemara uses a different terminology and specifies she'ein hashliach tzibur rashoy, meaning the shliach tzibur has to be very careful not to continue the bracha until after the tzibur has recited amen and completed their amen. So if you're very meticulous about reading this gemara, it says pasach bekore v'siyem b'shliach tzibur. It's like the Mishnah of pasach b'kad v'siyem b'chanah. So two different individuals. Mashma the shnayim him. Shnayim means shnayim chalukim him. They're different. The Yesha you wrote some loma dechmochein ein shliach tzibur ashoy lahakos yivarecha chalakonim. He now quotes another shita that went even beyond this. It doesn't sound like Rabbi Natan would have gone that far, but there is someone who went as far as to say that even with regard to Yivarechacha, the very words of the bracha, which somebody has to feed the Kohanim, right, call, respond, that should not be the Shliach Tzibur either. Because the Mochein, so too, Havi Afsaka, that also is Afsaka. So not only do we have to shift the cry, the clarion call of Kohanim off the shoulders of the Shliach Tzibur, even the feeding the words of the bracha to the Kohanim, that too has to be shifted off the shoulders of the Shliach Tzibur. Amnon, however, Rabbein Yehuda Pirish, the Beheji Yesh Ben Medrash, there's a Medrash, I don't know, I've never seen it, it's called the Medrash Tami Yisrael Yisrael, and it says in that Medrash, Emor Lahem, Melamed Shashliach Tzibur, Omar Lahem, I'll call Dibur V'Dibur. So in other words, this Medrash would undermine who Shita? Not Rabbein Tam, but rather Shita of what?
Not Rashi.
Again, this is the Yesh Shoyerotzim Lomar. What Rabbein Yehuda is saying is, I'll be with you right in just 1 second, because I just want to say over this one line of Rabbein Yehuda. Rabbein Yehuda is pointing out that from the Medrash, I have a stira to that Yesh Shoyerotzim Lomar, that the Shliach Tzibur is not going to feed the Kohanim, I'll call Dibur the Dibur, Yivarecha, etc., etc. That's a steer to the Medrash, because the Medrash says Beferish explicitly the Shliach Tzibur. That's all. V'chein Yesha Rotzim Lahatir L'Shliach Tzibur Atzmo Likros Kohanim Afil L'Fir Rabbeinu Tam. Now he adds another dimension to this whole discussion, that even Rabbeinu Tam, even though we saw the exact opposite, but he's going to reconcile that, but even Rabbeinu Tam is on the page of Rashi, and the Shliach Tzibur could recite the word Kohanim. What about Rabbeinu Tam? Asher Pirish Avi Afsaka. Rabbeinu Tam objected to the Shliach Tzibur reciting Kohanim, calling out to the Kohanim. Hainu Dafka B'Yameha. That's the original Minhag. And what was the original Minhag? Miyag Shesimu Birchas Hodah. Immediately after the Shliach Tzibur completed the Brach of Hodah, Toshim Cholchan El Ados, that was the time immediately for Birchas Kohanim. There was nothing wedged in between. No other tefillos, to expand the role of the Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur had a very, shall we say, well-defined, circumscribed role which completed itself when he said, Atov Shimchon, he finished Birchas Hodah. The law, you Omri, they didn't have the minhag of Elokeinu Velokei Voseinu Barcheinu Babracha Meshuleshes Batorah, which, by the way, implies that recitation should
really be a Hafsoka.
You may be a step ahead of me. I'm sorry, Hafi. I'm just saying that recitation of Elokeinu Velokei Voseinu was noeg even when there was Birchas Kohanim. Have you ever seen that? Yes, there are shuls. In the Vasika minyan that I daven in, that's the minyan. All the other minyanim I daven in the factory, there are like 10 minyanim afterwards. None of them do Elokeinu Voseinu the way they do it in the Vasika minyan. But that was the minyan that before the Kohanim start, they start the bracha, there's a recitation of Elokeinu Velokei Voseinu. That's not, Elokeinu Velokei Voseinu is not a replacement where there is no Kohen to be Mavarek, but rather it's an introduction to the Kohen and his bracha. Now, Harvey, what were you saying? You were saying something different. I don't know if I was ready for that. Yeah. Okay, if you don't remember that, that's okay. Kidemashma besotu the kamar ena kohen rashoi likros kohanim achi yechala amen mipi atzibur. So now, what is the significance of the amen of the tzibur, says Rabbi Yehuda in his presentation, Pirish Amen Sha'onim B'Siyim Birchas Hoda, Alma Mashma Shaloyu Omrim Elakoanim Yad, and there's no indication that after the Amen there was anything that came later. No, the Shliach Tzibur finished Atob Shimchol Chanel Ados, the Tzibur recited Amen, and the Kohanim right then and there would wait to be called upon to recite the Brach. There was no additional tefillah that was wedged in between, and that's the minhag that Rabbi Tam is reflecting upon when he says that the recitation of the clarion call of Kohanim should be whom? The Chazan, who's also the Tzarkei Tzibur, but not the Shliach Tzibur. Aval Achshav, now we have a different minhag. Shehurgu Lomar Elokeinu Melech Avoseinu B'Loshon Brachu Tefillah. In other words, the Shliach Tzibur is not finished with his job, he still continues his bracha and tefillah. Then, for him to add the word Kohanim, sandwiched into this whole Elokeinu Melech Avoseinu presentation, Ein Zu Hefsek. Even Rabbi Natan would agree that the Shliach Tzibur should be called upon to play that role of calling out Kohanim to Logar Aminius Amen. You see that the Tzibur is getting involved here with Anias Amen. The Shliach Tzibur is continuing that Anias Amen by introducing Elokeinu Kevaseinu Lo Chashiva Hefsek Kedepricious, and it's not called a Hefsek. So let's just summarize what we have so far, and then I want to show you something on your next page. The Shita of Rashi, and perhaps also the Rambam, is that the Shliach Tzibur is the one to call out Kohanim. Rabbi Tam rejects the Shita. He holds that if the Shliach Tzibur were to do so, that would constitute a Hefsek. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that even Rabbi Natan would agree that once we have the minhag of Elokeinu Melech Avoseinu, Enoch Inami, the Shliach Tzibur would call out Kohanim. But certainly in the original minhag, as Rabbi Natan knew it and described it, the Chazan HaBeis HaKnesses, but not the Shliach Tzibur, recite Kohanim. In the middle of this Tosis is a presentation in the name of the Yesha Yerotzim Lomar that the Shliach Tzibur would not recite Yevarechcha, etc., etc. That would also have to be the Chazan Beis HaKnesses. We don't know that Rabbi Natan went that far, and indeed Rabbi Yehuda says that sheet is completely unacceptable. It is contradicted by a Medrash, and it means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, there are two main chidushim, Rabbi Yehuda. We should sort this all out. The first chidush of Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Natan is limited to the calling of Kohanim. And there, Rabbi Natan objects to having the Shliach Tzibur recite Kohanim. That's only as far as Kohanim are concerned, but the Medrash is outspoken about the fact that as far as Dibur V'Dibur, that every word of the Bracha, that's the Shliach Tzibur. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say that Rabbi Natan would not go as far as those who wanted to push him over the ledge and say that the Shliach Tzibur cannot be the one to call out, I'll call deeper and deeper every word of the bracha. That far Rabbeinu Tam did not go. Rabbeinu Tam only objected to Kohanim. And the second presentation of Rabbeinu Yehuda is that even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that now that we have Elokeinu Elokeinu Voseinu, which the Shliach Tzibur adds as a more embellished, extended introduction to Berachas Kohanim, then the Shliach Tzibur, once he's begun that process, based on that minhag, then he can complete it by saying Kohanim, even according to Rabbi Natan. So far, all I've done is try to present, to the best of my ability, what a summary and overview of what we see here in your sugya and sota, according to Rashi, according to Ram, and according to Rabbi Natan. That's all I've done. I haven't added a thing.
Rabbi Yehuda is very strange.
This is yours, Avi.
What do you mean?
Okay, I'm not going to steal it. They do know. Oh, this is yours? Okay, we'll make a
slide.
You like the hot one.
But why isn't Rabbi Yehuda, or can we assume Rabbi Yehuda's answer addresses Rashi and Rambam as well? Can we assume that Rashi's talking about already the time they're saying, okay, look at the same?
Well, the question that I want to raise with you today, I don't know, maybe you're a little bit ahead of me. I wanted to ask a basic question. Why does Rashi insist that the Shliach Tzibur is the one who calls out Kohanim? Meaning, you might say, well, Rashi says so because he has no reason not to say so. Meaning, he doesn't accept the concept of Hafsaka. But you know, considering the fact that Rabbi Tam is worried about Apsaka, you get the impression that Rashi has a definite positive agenda here. You know, the Rashi really is convinced that the Shliach Tzibur is the one who should say Kohanim. And I'd like to understand why. Meaning, we could have circumvented the whole problem here by simply going down the road of Rabbeinu Tam and let the Chazon recite, you know, yell out Kohanim. Why does Rashi say no, the Shliach Tzibur has to say Kohanim?
Maybe he's endorsing the minhag of the whole Kohanim Kevasan. Maybe it was
no, but I'm asking before we get to Elokei Velokei Vasei, that's going to come in much later, that's in Rabbeinu Yehuda.
No,
I'm talking about Rashi. What is the compelling logic that it is the Shliach Tzibur who should be reciting Kohanim? Forget about Minhagim, forget about Elokei Velokei Vasei, no, later Minhagim. Rashi's not talking about Minhagim, he's not talking about later developments. He's telling us that when Abaye, we're going all the way back to Abaye now, says Rashi, when Abaye presents the thesis that Korei Kohanim, who's the Korei? Shliach Tzibur, why?
He's the one that's going to be
Shriach
Tzibur. Now we're getting somewhere, okay? What I want to suggest is the following. We've discussed, Harvey, on many occasions in the context of our study of Nesias Kapayim, that there are two parts to the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim, two components, two individuals or groups of individuals who are actively involved in this mitzvah. It's not just a one-man show or a one-group show of the Kohanim. We also need whom?
Mizparchim.
Mizparchim. Excellent. And this is what we've been emphasizing over and over again. Oh. Says Rashi, if the mitzvah of Birchas Kohen requires not only the Mizparchim, but also the Mizparchim, and the Kohanim therefore cannot fulfill their obligation to be Mavarchim unless they're on Mizparchim. So Rashi wants to understand that this halacha, which Abaye derives from the pasuk Emar Lahem, is that Emar Lahem means that the Mizparchim must request the bracha. There's going to be a request on behalf of the Tzibur to be Mizparchim. Without that request, we're missing half of the picture here. We have the Kohen who are the Kohenim who are the Mavarchim, but we haven't entered stage the Mizparchim. And therefore, perhaps we could suggest the following, that Rashi holds, and I think this becomes a little bit clearer in Tosus and Menachos, which should be on your page. Tosus says, Kol Kohen Sheina Ola L'duchen. What does it mean that the Kohen, if he decides not to duchen, he is being mavatel, a mitzvah, a chiyuv that's incumbent upon him? Says Tosfos, look carefully at Tosfos, dafka, this only applies, kisha omer lo ale, when they tell him to go up and duchen. In other words, what Tosfos is saying is that there's got to be an introduction, a prologue, and it's almost a prerequisite for the chiyuv of the Kohen to emerge.
An invitation,
excellent. And take a look how Tosfos quotes the Targum Bavli. The Targum Bavli on the Pasuk Emar Lahem says, Kad, which means when, Tamru Lahem. When there's an Emar Lahem, then and only then are you obligated as a Kohen to recite the bracha. I want to show you Rashi in Masechta Megillah, because I think Rashi perhaps even further amplifies this. The Mishnah says, Katan Eino Nosei Es Kapo. Again, Rashi's not talking about the mitzvah of Chinuch now. Rashi's talking about the Iker mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. Says Rashi, why isn't the Kohen Nosei Es Kapo? The Katan, I'm sorry, Nosei Es Kapo. Says Rashi, in Kohen who, if the Kohen is a Kohen, She'ein Kavod Shel Tzibur Lios Kfufim Liberchaso. It's interesting. Rashi introduced a concept here that the Tzibur has to be Kofuf Liberchaso. What word could we possibly substitute for Kfufim Liberchaso? Again, Rashi is giving a literal description of what the Tzibur is doing, but what would you say in a more figurative sense? What does it mean, kfufim lebrachasa? What is the...
Erect. He must be erect.
No. Again, Harvey, you're giving me a literal translation. I know what the word kfufim lebrachasa means, but on a more, if you could be a little more abstract here, you know, I think a conceptual understanding of
object. It's perfect.
Kfufim means they dependent upon him because they have to be makabel his bracha. They have to receive his bracha. And Rashi says that Tzibur, so far as they play the role of being kfufim lebrachaso, who's the mavarech that they call kfuf to? They want to accept the bracha of a katan. Rashi says to accept the bracha of a katan is not covered at Tzibur. And reminds me of another sugya in the same place in the Gila about whether katan could be korei b'torah, in which case the tzibur is dependent upon the katan. That's also a problem of kavanat tzibur. All the dinim of kavanat tzibur are formulated there in the Mishnah Megillah, and that's sugya. And one of them is the halachim nesias kapayim. Why is there so much emphasis here within the context of nesias kapayim on kavanat tzibur? After all, the chiyuv is incumbent upon whom? The kohanim? No. It's not just the chiyuv that's incumbent upon the kohanim. That's only half the story. It's also a mitzvah on the tzibur to be mizbarachim. And therefore, according to the Targum Bavli, the mitzvah of calling upon the kohanim, that requirement, katemru lahon, which is the clarion call to the kohanim, kohanim, meaning kohanim, we want your bracha. We want to be kafuf, we want to be miskablim, we want to be mizbarachim. That is the prerequisite and the introduction to Birchas Kohanim. And I would even go as far as to say that this is halacha d'oraisa. Because if you go back to Abaye, Abaye doesn't just say, you know what, it's a nice idea, it's a beautiful custom to call out Kohanim. That's not what he's saying. He says, Shenemar, Emar Lahem. He derives it from a pasuk. In that case, we're talking about a dindo raisa, which is derived from the alfusa in the Torah, and that alfusa is telling me that the machayev of the kohen, as when does that chiyuv emerge, is contingent upon the fact that we call the kohanim, we need their bracha, we want to be mizbarachim, and therefore we need to be doresh, so to speak, to demand as a tzibur from the kohanim that they bestow this blessing upon us. And Rashi says we are dependent on the kohanim because the kohanim are the ones who can bestow this bracha, and it's not covered at tzibur for the tzibur to be dependent upon whom? Upon the katan. If this be the case, it makes sense, I think, that Rashi is compelled to say logically that who is the one to call out kohanim? Right. It really should be whom? The entire tzibur. Okay, that's logistically impossible. So if the tzibur can't call out the kohanim to request the bracha, to demand the bracha, if you will, then who's going to do so?
The gabbai.
Their shliach, not the gabbai. Because the gabbai is not a representative of the tzibur. Rashi holds there's only one shliach of the tzibur. Who's that? The shliach tzibur. That defines his role. He is the shliach tzibur. If somebody else wants to call out kohanim, he doesn't represent the tzibur. And therefore, that doesn't fulfill the prerequisite the generator of the chiyuv bracha that's incumbent upon the kohanim. What generates that chiyuv bracha? It's the fact that the tzibur demand the bracha, they request the bracha. Okay, I don't know if you want to say demand or request, you'll decide for yourself. But if it's not going to be the tzibur as a tzibur, that's going to create a whole hullabaloo. So who's going to represent the tzibur? It's like, for example, we find that Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim represents the tzibur. What great mitzvah that applies monthly, on a monthly basis, right? The first mitzvah in the Torah. Kiddush HaKodesh, right? Kiddush HaKodesh is really, HaKodesh is Elohim. Lochem refers to the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael, but who represents the tzibur of Klal Yisrael? To implement their chiyuv, that's going to be the shliach HaTzibur. In the case of Kiddush HaKodesh, who, what body is the shliach HaTzibur? It's Beis Nagadol. In the case of Birchas Kohanim, which is part and parcel, as Yechiel said so well, of Tefillah, who represents the tzibur?
Right.
The shliach hatzibur. He's been appointed as the shliach hatzibur. Therefore, Rashi insists that only the Shliach Tzibur has the koach, has the authority, has the position to demand the bracha from the Kohanim to fulfill this Doraisa Halacha of Emar Lahem. And if it's anyone else who does so, he does not halachically have the status of the Shliach Tzibur, and therefore, even though he's a great guy, and he's also the Tzarchei Tzibur, and he's the Gabe Rishon, or the Gabe Sheni, whoever he is, nevertheless, he's not the Shliach of the Tzibur.
So how does Rashi deal with the idea of Hafsaka? He says it's not Hafsaka? He said it's not Hafsaka?
I would ask a different question. I would ask some of the opposite question. Why does Rabbeinu Tam think that it's Hafsaka? If the Torah itself commands you, as a Tzibur, to engender the Chiyuv Kohanim, to generate the Chiyuv Kohanim by first Emar Lahem, by declaring Kohanim and calling out, or as you said, Harvey, inviting the Kohanim, then why should that be a Hefzik? On the contrary, I would say that Rabbeinu Tam is difficult. Rashi Lashitasa holds that this is a Dindo Raisa, and it's a prerequisite to set up the mitzvah of Kohanim, and maybe the entire Tzibur should be yelling out Kohanim, but Rashi says, no, let the Shliach Tzibur do so on behalf of the Tzibur. The Torah itself requires, within the context of the mitzvah of the Nesias Kapayim, that the Tzibur request the bracha from the Kohanim, and not only that, Tosu says in Menachos, until such time that the Tzibur requests the bracha from the Kohanim are not obligated, and the Kohen doesn't have to go up to Duchen until he's called upon to Duchen. So the Torah requires us to call upon the Kohen to Duchen. I understand very well that if it's not going to be the Tzibur who calls out Kohanim, it's going to be the Shliach. And Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by the halacha of Hafsak. Why is that Hafsak? And here we have to add another question, because sometimes if you have two questions, it makes it easier. It doesn't always work, you know, often it boomerangs. But Yechiel's question, and Yechiel's question is, why does Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbeinu Yehuda, agree, and Rabbeinu Yehuda claims that he invokes a medrash that's explicit, that when it comes to calling out the bracha itself, meaning Yivarechecha, word by word, as Tosfos calls it, divur by divur, that Rabbeinu Tam agrees is not a hafsaka, and that the Shliach Tzibur could recite. I mean, if Rabbeinu Tam is so concerned about Hafsaka, why does he make this distinction? Rabbeinu Tam says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yesh L'chalek, that if the Kohanim, if the Shliach Tzibur is going to yell out Kohen or Kohanim, that's going to be a Hefsek. But if the Shliach Tzibur is going to say Yivarechecha, Vishmerechecha, or I'll break your neck, is that itself is not considered a Hefsek? My Nafkamina Yisrael.
I'll tell you the Nafkamina, because when a Shliach Tzibur is a Kohen, he turns around and says the Brikos Kohanim, and it's not a Hefsek.
Well, you may be right, but here we do have a Kohen who's reciting the bracha. Can you say a little bit better? Or maybe say it the way I want you to say it. You know?
I would have thought that the psukim of Rech Hashem Mishmarecha are in the Torah. The word.
Okay, that's good. But I think Yechiel, you said it a little better the way I want you to say it. That saying Yivarecha Vishmerecha is what?
Part of Tefillah.
It's part of Tefillah. Ah, Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha is part of Tefillah. Hooray, if there's no Kohanim, the Shliach Tzibur is going to recite that bracha. Oh, but why is it different than Kohanim? Why does Rabbeinu Tam not go one step further and say Kohanim is also part of Tefillah?
Because it
isn't. And why isn't it? Can you say it the way I want you to say it?
Because it's never in the Tefillah.
Say it a little better. It's just a little sharp. But sometimes if it's
not addressed to Kodesh Baruch, it's addressed
to Kohanim. Too fancy. No, that's philosophical.
It's not
the way.
It's
what is it?
It's in more language.
It's Netilas Rishus. In other words, it means that the Kohen has to ask for permission to bless the people, but that's not part and parcel of the blessing itself. Meaning Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbeinu Yehuda, is saying the following. Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, when the Shliach Tzibur recites Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha and feeds it word by word to the Kohen, that itself is part of the bracha. And the bracha itself, as we saw, and we'll see it again and again, is part of Tefillah. That's not Hafsaka. But when you want to demand from the Kohen, and that's what triggers off his chiyuv, please bestow upon us the bracha, that's not part of Tefillah. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says that could not be part of what the Shliach Tzibur is going to say. So again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbo said the Tzvei Dinim here, the two halachas. There's one halacha of the Gufa Shel Bracha, and the Shliach Tzibur can integrate the Gufa Shel Bracha into Birchas Kohanim, which in turn is integrated into what? Tefillah, therefore it's not Hafsaka, but the Netilas Rishus part, the prerequisite, the introduction, remains an introduction. And an introduction is extraneous. It's like if you would author a book, and you have the text of the book, but you also add, what do they call it? A foreword, right? The foreword is not part of the book. You know, I was always wondering, this has nothing to do with that discussion today, when they should open up the Aron Kodesh in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, at what point for the Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofros. So we start with Malchus, right? Now, Malchus is made up of 10 psukim, just like Zichronus and Shofros. So I would have said, let's wait till Malchus. But the minig is, at least the minig that I'm familiar with, maybe you have a different minig, is that they open up the Aron for what? Who remembers?
A hidden.
For Olenu. Olenu is when they open up. Take a look if you have a matzah. I didn't check it out. And the reason is that the lovedness is that Olenu is not an introduction to Malchus, but it's goofa part of Malchus. Because the first of the 10 psukim of Malchus is recited in the Olenu. And a similar question we could ask on the end of Tefillah, on a daily basis. We have Olenu at the end of Tefillah. Is that part of Tefillah, or is that separate and independent element that the Taz says they didn't want people to go home and into the streets of the Ofdei Avodah Zarah without first reciting Olenu, but it's not an integral part of the Tefillah. For example, I'll give you another example. Lighting Hanukkah candles in the Beis HaKnesses on Hanukkah. Is that part of Tefillah or is it not part of Tefillah? Some have the minhag, I think you're familiar with this, so I think it's a pretty wide set minhag, to light the Hanukkah candles between what and what? Between Mincha and Maariv. It sounds like, again I can't prove it to you, that we want to integrate that Lukas Ner Hanukkah into the Gufa Shel Tefillah. And we spoke very at great length about the concept of Hazkaros in Tefillah, you know, things that we add on special days. And the question is that part of Gufa Shel Tefillah, or does it remain an extraneous chiyuv? According to Rabbeinu Tam, the way Rabbeinu Yehuda understands it, to call the Kohen into order, so to speak, Emar Lahem, which means Kohanim, that remains an introduction to Birchas Kohanim, but it's not an integral part of Tefillah. It's like a requirement that has to be fulfilled insofar as the Kohanim now can fulfill their obligation, but that requirement, like for example, let's say there are different things that have to be set up in order so the Kohanim should be able to be Mavarek. You know, you need technical things, you know, you might have to have, the what?
Washing
the hand, you know, different things like setting up the pews or whatever it might be. Those are technical requirements, meaning that even if the halacha requires them as a precondition, Rabbeinu Tam still classifies them as extraneous to the bracha and to the tefillah. Therefore, it's hafsaka. Have the chazan fulfill it. It's a technicality. It has to be done without implementing Amar Lahem. The Kohanim are not going to be chayiv in the mitzvah. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't deny that. But that can be done by a chazan. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says that don't equate that with Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha is gufa part of the bracha, and it's part of the tefillah, and therefore it's not a hefsek. Now, when I say that Birchas Kohanim is part of Tefillah, how do I know this? So I want to mention, there's a famous tshuva, I don't think it's on your pages here because I couldn't find it, but there is a famous tshuva from the Netziv Mivaloshin. You know, the Netziv wrote a very extensive work on tshuvas called the Meshiv Dov. And he wants to know, the Netziv, if one Kohen is allowed to be Mavarech on behalf of the other Kohen. You know, the other Kohen will just silently listen to one Kohen. What would that be in halachic principles? Shomer Kohen. Oh, so the Netziv says it's not acceptable. Every Kohen has to be Mevarech himself. And how does the Netziv prove this? He quotes a Yerushalmi. We've discussed this Yerushalmi on at least two occasions for anybody who remembers and deserves a tzalash for that. And Yerushalmi says that there's no Shomei Ka'one in Tefillah. There's no Shomei Ka'one in Tefillah. Then Yerushalmi asks, what about Chazor Sashatz? I mean, there, Lechora, we're working with Shomei Ka'one, and somehow Yerushalmi gets away with that and says the Chazor Sashatz is not Midin Shomei Ka'one, but the Tzibur answers Amen, and the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah makes a big deal about it, that every member of the Tzibur has to answer Amen, and it's not Midin Shomei Ka'one. Tefillah requires your own personal prayer. You can't have a proxy for Tefillah. Oh, says that it's it. Since the halach in Tefillah is that there's no Shomei Ka'one in Tefillah, that's Yerushalmi, therefore, ipso facto, says the Nitziv, there's no Shomei Ka'one in Birchas Ka'onim. I don't get it. Where's the Nitziv? What do you see from this Nitziv? Exactly, that Birchas Ka'onim is a part of Tefillah. If Birchas Ka'onim was not part of Tefillah, then why would you apply the principle of the Yerushalmi that there's no Shomei Ka'one in Birchas Ka'onim and the Sias Kapayim? Okay, so you found that in Hilchos Tefillah there's no Shomei Ka'one. What does that do with Birchas Ka'onim? The answer is that Birchas Ka'onim is governed by the laws of Tefillah. And that's why Rashi insists that if there's halacha, a condition of Birchas Ka'onim, of Emor Lehem, that has to be fulfilled as part of Tefillah by the Tzibur, in this case, who's representing the Tzibur, it's the Shliach Tzibur. It's not a Hafsaka. It's not like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam fundamentally would agree with Rashi that the Birchas Ka'onim is an integral part of Tefillah. Rabbeinu Tam is not undermining that fundamental assumption. I can't, that would be suicidal for me to question that assumption. But rather, Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Din of Emor Lehem was formulated as a technical requirement to set off, to trigger off the chiyuv of the mitzvah of Birchas Ka'onim, but it's not an integral part of Tefillah. It's a halach of what? Of the Tilas Retilas Rishus. I just want to mention something in passing. Don't v'tishkach. This is only for those who may remember that I gave an entire shir on this topic. So please, everybody else who was not here or doesn't remember what we discussed about Smichus Gula Tefillah, please close your ears. And I don't mind if I'm just talking to myself. That's fine. Because we were distinguishing between Smichus Gula Tefillah and Shacharis, which is an absolute requirement. And you cannot be mafsa ki hu zeh between gula and tefillah and shacharis. Whereas in Arvis, even though Rabbi Yochanan says in the Avdalah, Eizah olam baza, somek tefillah, somek gula shal arvis, l'tefillah shal arvis, nevertheless, it's not the same deal. We have a hefsek, we have a kaddish, we have a chatzi kaddish, and we have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, and Ashkivenu, blah, 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 and all the different hefsek. So if anyone who remembers that shir, we wanted to say the following. That with regard to Shacharis, there's a look of Kabbalah's O Malchus Shomayim, which I have to fulfill the Torah's Chova. And in Shacharis, that Chova is a twofold Chova that requires, number one, reciting Geula, because Ani Hashem Elokeinu Asher Hotzitzi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Li'os Lachem Le'Elokim, which means Kabbalah's O Malchus Shomayim Li'os Lachem Le'Elokim. That's what Geula is all about. And number two, Tefillah, I bow and I accept Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, and that too is a chiyuv, and the two are integrated into one entity without any hefsek in between. But we pass in Tefillah's Arvis Rishus, so there's no chovah to daven Tefillah's Arvis. Therefore, the halach of Arvis Rishus is mafkia, the integration of Gula and Tefillah into one entity of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim that cannot be fulfilled with the Gula, with the Tefillah of Arvis. But there's another halach in Smichus Gula Tefillah, and that Rav Salveitchi used to call halach of Matir Nitar. Matir Nitar means, who am I to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam to be mispalel? I need some sort of a matir, and the matir is Geula. First I have to praise Hashem for redeeming us, then I can daven. Oh, the Rav said that when you have a matir and a nitar, that's already a different halach. And then we separate the matir and the nitar. Okay, that's just as a Maimon Muska to remind you of something that we discussed ages ago. Here, Rabbeinu Tam is saying, I have to separate between Birchas Ka'onim itself and Emor Lehem. Emor Lehem, says Rabbeinu Tam, is a halacha of a matir. It allows the Ka'onim to stand up and bestow the blessing over the people of Israel. Who are you? Okay, so you're a Ka'onim. Kol HaKavod. So what? The Tzibur has to invite you, as you said very well, Harvey, to be Mavarech. Then you have the Matir, you have permission to be Mavarech. And Rabbeinu Tam says that Matir has to be separated from the bracha itself. And how do we separate from the bracha itself? The bracha itself is going to be a partnership, a shituf pula between the shliach tzibur and the mizbarchim and the tzibur. And the kohenim amavarchim, the shliach tzibur representing the tzibur. But the matir, the netilas reshus, as an introduction to birchas kohenim, that has to be done outside the framework of tefillah and has to be implemented by whom? By the chazan beis haknesset. Take a look at something very fascinating. In the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which you'll see about two-thirds down your page, the Mishnah says, the Omer Avoda Vehoda, and then I'm going to fool you, so you shouldn't fall into my trap. I'm going to rewrite the text here for pedagogical purposes. The Omer Avoda, the Shliach Tzibur recites Avoda, that's Ritzei, right? That ends with Hoda, which follows with Hoda, which is Modim. And then Usim Shalom. Right? That's not what it says. It doesn't say Sim Shalom. It says Birchas Kohen. Wait a minute. The last bracha that I was taught since I was a Yingel was that the last bracha is Sim Shalom. What happened to Sim Shalom? Or call it Shalom, if you will.
Because that's part of the bracha.
Exactly. I think the language of the mission itself is proof positive that Birchas Kohen is part of Sim Shalom. It's one entity. And that's why, by the way, if there's no kohanim, if there's no kohanim to duchen, then the shliach tzibur, after he completes hodah, will immediately say elokeinu v'elokeinu v'seinu. That elokeinu v'elokeinu v'seinu is a quasi substitute, whatever it means, for birchas kohanim, but it's an integral part of which bracha? Of sim shol. In fact, I would say the following. You know that there are some people who have a minhag. I don't know if anyone's willing to admit it. That in except for chakras, they have a shortened version of Sim Shalom. That's called Shalom Rav. Is anybody here bold enough to admit it? Yes. It's not my minhag.
Of course.
I say Sim Shalom 3 times a day. But if your minhag is to say Shalom Rav, then it's a very strange thing. That minhag is trying to indicate that what? That there's a difference between chakras on the one hand and Mincha Mayrav on the other hand. What? What separates chakras from Mincha Mayrav?
No Birchas Kohanim.
Exactly. There's no Birchas Kohanim in Mincha Mayrav. And they, although there really is Birchas Kohanim in Mincha, I mean, the Gemara is afraid that Shikras, fine. Maybe on Shabbos, we should be duchenim at Mincha, but at least we'll say Sim Shalom.
We do say Sim Shalom at Mincha.
That's what I'm saying. At least we'll say Sim Shalom. Why? Because I say, correct, the same thing on the Tanis Sefer. The Sim Shalom of Mincha on Shabbos or Tanis Sefer is really telling me what the Ikar HaDin is, that there should be duchen. And therefore, we're not going to switch, we're not going to swap, you know, Sim Shalom with a new or a different kind of a bracha. The Nusach HaBracha of Shalom Rav is going to be, in a sense, an indication that there is no Birchas Kohanim at this particular tefillah in Shalom. But when there is Birchas Kohanim in Shalom, and if there are no kohanim around to do so, we're still going to try very hard to indicate that this tefillah and the last of the brachas of this tefillah, which is Shalom, really requires Birchas Kohanim. So how do we go ahead and wave a flag that you should know that this tefillah requires, it lends itself, it obligates us in Birchas Kohanim? We're going to use a nusach called Sim Shalom.
Okay. Well, I didn't say they can't hear this in Mincha. We know that Khan can't do it because of Shikras. At least they can't hear the same.
And we definitely should, but only if there's a chiv of Birchas Kohanim. So that has to do
with the chiv. True, because of Shikras.
Well, no.
It's in the part of my belly.
Right. So you will say a little Khan of El
Kevin.
But it depends. Not Mincha Gdola. Again, I'm not sure, Daniel, if this is what you have in mind. It depends what time you're davening Mincha. If you're davening Mincha Gedola, like for example, that's what we do here. We daven Mincha Gedola because that's what we have the tzibur together, and that's what we daven Mincha. So there's no Birchas Kohen in Mincha Gedola time. We'll get to that as a separate topic, but Mincha Gedola has to be similar to Ne'ilah. And then the sugya Birchas Kohanim in the Ila is a whole sugya unto itself. So it's got to be at the end of the day, what we call Mincha Katan. But if you daven Mincha Gedola, Again, Alan, you may know other minhagim. There's so many different minhagim.
A mistake you made in the lashon. You said,
"Oh, my lashon was
incorrect." You said mincha gedola has to be like nila. It's mincha has to be like nila. Mincha gedola is not like nila because it's early.
Correct. So the mincha gedola, which is early, is not like nila. That's what I meant to say. And therefore, we don't substitute birchas kohanim. And that's why we leave out elokeinu v'elokeinu saying. But if, let's say, you daven mincha later on in the day, as most people do, you know, here we have yeshiva, so we daven mincha early. But in most cases, like in Ibrei Shefa, where I live, you know, you daven right before shkia, there's some even after shkia, and it's so funny. It's so funny in Ibrei Shefa, and I'm sure this is true elsewhere. You know, sometimes you have no clue whether daven mincha or ma'ariv. Because the Sfaradim, for example, daven Meir very early, that's the Psak and Moran, and the Ashkenazim, who are very Hasidish in Imre Shefa's case, they'll daven Mincha very late. Al Pi Kabbalah, he's supposed to daven Mincha late, but not that late. But in any event, you could be very confused. You could be standing, literally, I'm not exaggerating, you can be standing in a spot, and the guy to your right is davening mincha, the guy to your left is davening ma'ariv. And as much as the gabbaim try to banish this, they have not succeeded. You know? All right. In any event, what I want to point out to you is that, just to summarize, so I know where I'm holding for my own good, we have here on page one of Yomar Makomos, we have a discussion here about Kriolakon, correct? And Kriolakonim is this profound sugya that we studied now. I just want to see in my notes if I left something out here. Well, I think pretty much we covered it. Okay. So again, Rav Ossi, just to summarize, when does the brach of Sim Shalom begin? What would be the kickoff of Sim Shalom? Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is the beginning of Sim Shalom, and therefore when the Shliach Tzibur recites Yivarechecha, he, so to speak, feeds the Kohanim the words of the Bracha, that's not a Hefsek, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, because that's part and parcel of the Bracha of Sim Shalom. Again, according to Rabbeinu Yehuda, even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that in our day, the Kohanim, that we have a minig of the Shliach Tzibur reciting Elokeinu v'Elokeinu Seinu, Baruchenu v'Abrocha Shlesh V'Torah, etc., then even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that the Shatz could say Kohanim, because according to this minig, the Birchas Kohanim begins with Elokeinu v'Elokeinu Seinu. So the calling out of Kohanim is just a hemshech, it's a continuation of the Bracha of the Birchas Kohanim. If there are no Kohanim, we'll recite Elokeinu v'Elokeinu Seinu, because that, in a sense, is part of the bracha of Sim Shalom. When there are Kohanim, it's part of the bracha of Sim Shalom by adding or integrating the bracha of the Shatz together with the bracha of the Kohen. Those two together form one entity called the bracha of Sim Shalom. When there are no Kohanim, then we're left just with the Shliach Tzibur. But in any event, as an absolute rule, that's what Rabbeinu Yehuda is teaching us. The Yivarech Hashem v'Yishmerech of the Shliach Tzibur is an integral part of Tefillah.
The only thing I don't understand is that from Yehuda, how does he have the right to say that Rabbeinu Tam would also agree that he could say Kohanim, because since they already put a Lekeinu v'Lekeinu Seinu in there, which ordinarily Rabbeinu Tam would have held, it was a hefsek. So look, while you're holding by hefsek, you're holding by hefsek of Kohanim too.
Right. He actually adds another point over here, which we didn't discuss. If you notice in his language, he writes, bless you, Delogora. Where is it?
Yeah, Logora Me'amen.
Me'amen, right? Me'amiris Amen or something. I can't find
it. Yeah, that's what he said. But
right, so what he's trying to suggest is that there is a certain element of flexibility, and Rabbeinu Tam himself admits that if not for the problem of Hafsaka, then conceptually it should be the Shliach Tzibur who should be saying Kohanim, because as we said before, he is the appointed member, representative of the Tzibur, and the Tzibur has to ask the Kohanim for the Bracha to be Mizbark. Okay. I want to spend the next 10-15 minutes, if you can stay, studying another dimension of Birchas Kohanim, and that is the Gemara in Sota on Lamed Tes Amid Beis. The Gemara in Sota has a very interesting assumption, which the Gemara doesn't even spell out who taught the Gemara that premise. The premise of the Gemara is that there's got to be some amira on the part of the tzibur, not just emor lahem, to, as we said before, to demand the bracha from the kohanim, but that they should be actively involved in reciting something, some recitation. So Rashi tries to explain the premise of the maksha, of the, not the maksha, it's not a kasha, of the shoel, I guess you would say. And part of this Rashi I understand, but part of this Rashi I can't help you with, maybe you can help me. But Rashi says the following: Ha'am mahem omri sheyiru mazbirei panim. Right now, we're going to see what mazbirei panim means in the Rashi on the top of your page 2. Rashi says that mazbirei panim means laharos shahabrocha chashuva. Again, we'll get back to the word rabo in a second, but laharos shahabrocha chashuva. So that's called hasbaras panim. Like, for example, if you give money to a poor person, you're masbir lo panim, meaning you tell the ani how important he is, and that's why you're there to help. A smart, right? This is like a smart. Yeah. And Rashi adds something here. He says, "Umodim lefanav al birchos." Now, first, I want to ask you the question: Birchosav. That's why I don't like pronouns. Birchosav. Who is Birchosav?
Her.
No, you have to be careful here. So I fell into the same trap. The Kohen is not the Mavarech, and we discussed this last week. The Kohen is the one who enunciates the Baruch. But who is the Mavarech, as we discussed? The Ribono Shel. So when it says Birchosav, we're not thanking the Kohen. None of the answers that the Gemara is going to offer are thanks to the Kohen, Yashikaref, to the Kohen. In fact, there's a whole truth from the Tzvi Pesach Frank, whether you're allowed to say Yashikaref to the Kohen. But be that as it may, who are we thanking? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bestowing the Baruch on us. And we have to express our gratitude. Modim lefanim al birchos. Now, the last four words of Rashi I'm a little bit unclear about. I don't know why Rashi felt compelled to embellish this. He says, Laharos Shehin Milchos Lohen. You know, as Rashi says, this is part of the Din of Kabbalah Sabracha. I don't know why Rashi had to add that. I mean, we already fulfilled that Kabbalah Sabracha, number one, by inviting the Kohen with Kohanim, but maybe it's not enough the Shliach Tzibur does that. We also have to invite the Kohanim, so we're going to do so by reciting these Psukim. But not only that, we've already been makabel the bracha, haraya, we're thanking Hashem, and the essence of all the psukim that we're going to see, that are going to come up here in the sugya, all hodah to Hashem. We're not ingrates to God who bestowed the bracha, we thank Hashem, we express our gratitude. I don't know why Rashi had to add here, it seems like an anticlimactic, kidei laharos shein nochos lo, as if to say we need an extra demonstration that we as the tzibur are makabel the bracha.
I thought, I don't know if you noticed, but I thought that it was, you have to show that you like, that there's a positive Hebrew relationship between you and the Kohen.
Okay, but I'm just saying, you've already thanked Hashem for the bracha, you know, I don't know. Omer Abzera, Omer Abchizda, again, he quotes a pasuk, Birchu Hashem, Malach of Gibori Koach, it goes on and on and on, I'm not going to go through all the tefillos here. Omer Rav Asi, another pasuk in Tilim, and there it says Shira Malusine Baruch Es Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem. All these brachos are men thanking Hashem, Birchu Hashem, expressing thanks. It's a little bit similar to, because Daniel and I are learning Ksubis once a week, to the case of Birchas Chasanim, right, which Rabbi Avo derives from the pasuk Birchu Hashem Makelos, another pasuk in Tilim, which means we thank Hashem for the Simcha of Chasam Mekalo. It's always an emphasis on thanks. The Gemara assumes that in Tainus there should be a different tefillah, a different bracha that we recite on a Tainus, Mincha Tainus. And imavonenu anuvanu Hashem aseh l'man shemecha. It's almost as if we believe with great reliability and faith that God will answer our prayers on the tainus, and He will stave off any sort of impending calamity, chas v'sholem. And therefore, we thank Hashem in advance. Ashir Hashem.
When are we supposed to say this?
In between the bracha, it's not during the bracha, because again, you have to be makabel the bracha, which means that the kohen are going to have to give you a little bit of time before they get to the next.
That's the ah ah, right? Very good.
So if you never knew before you came to this class that the ah comes from this sugyan sota, then you owe me a yashikot just for that.
And all these pesukim that
I never understood the ahs, right? You know what I'm saying?
And all these pesukim that some people say in the middle of the bracha, all this stuff.
That should not be, that's not correct. It should not be said.
Which was why this minute
I don't know. I think the truth is,
in
the middle of the bracha.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Why Hasidim? The ah is also in the middle of the bracha.
No, the means that the Kohen and give you a little bit of a pause, a little bit of a window of time to recite.
After each word, you say.
That's wrong. Now we're doing it after the whole pasuk is done.
All right, so we have to find the justification.
There is a discussion.
Again, we're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem in another occasion why Birchas Kohen plays such a major role in the Ilah. And not only that, people go absolutely nuts to make sure that they get the Birchas Kohen in the Ilah. They change the whole service around. Is Amar Azutra again a pasuk in Tehillim? Notice, with the exception of Tehillim, and with the exception of Tainis, which we have to understand because Tainis is slightly different halacha of Birchas Kohen, but the universal rule here of the Psukim is where do they come from? Leave out Tainis for
Tehillim.
Well, maybe Shir Malos, but I meant in a more general sense. You know, you're already maybe saying a Shtikl Torah ahead of me. I didn't see Shir Malos so much. What I saw was who's the author of all these brachos that we give to Hashem, thanking him? David HaMelech. It's always David HaMelech, correct? And now I want you to turn to the second page. And Rav Chiya is opposed to this. Rav Chiya says that's only in the Beis HaMikdash, but HaOmro B'Gvulin, those who say these psukim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Eino Ola Toeh. And here I apologize, I left out the Rashi here when I did this at some ungodly hour in the middle of the night. Rashi says, Eino Ola Toeh, because only in the Beis HaMikdash do we recite the Shem HaMiyuchad. Okay, you have to know what the Shema Miuchad is, you know, how many letters it has, whether it's 4 or 12 or 72 or I don't know how many.
Taf Yomi on Shabbos.
Oh, okay. But we also discussed Mayan and Shemitah Tzal Sina on Shabbos, okay. But that you didn't hear. Okay. No, that was just I wasn't talking to you, Michael. Sorry. Don't get sensitive.
I explain you.
It's an in-house joke. Okay. Omer Abchanina Bar Popo Teda. To the Migdash Namilo, he goes even a step further in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not required to say this and so forth and so on. Okay. So then the Gemara finishes up by saying, the Migvulin Nami boiled in there. That kind of quotation, okay then? So what we're discussing is the various Shachat, that's Shem Shalom. Ori. Actually, Ben Ach, Shem Ori. Ori. Tishma. What are we talking about here? We're talking about various brachos that the tzibur has to recite during Birchas Kohen. On different occasions, certain days, they recite these tefillos from Tehillim and others. So now the Gemara has a debate whether that should be done only in the Beit HaMikdash or even outside the Beit HaMikdash. And now the Gemara gives an argument in favor of Bigvulin Nami Boy Lememre, that even outside the Mikdash we should be reciting these expressions, as Rashi says, of gratitude, because Klum Yesh Evet Shemavarchan also. We're a servant of the Almighty. The Almighty is now bestowing a brach upon us. The Eino Mazbir upon him. Rashi says, Eino Mazbir upon Laharot Shebirchat Rabo Chashuvalo Varevalav. Interesting. Rashi uses a term here which I find a little bit chutzpahdik. I mean, I don't mean that literally, but there's a certain audacity here in Rashi. Rashi says, "V'tigmol le'rava." Now, who's the Rav over here?
The Almighty.
The Almighty. And now, Tigmol, what does Tigmol mean?
Like, he needs us.
Yeah, as if he needs us. Like, Molo, you know, you did me a chesed, I'll do you a chesed. It's interesting. Again, this is all together, Tnuos Elokim, meaning what we say that God makes himself as if, Kaviyochel, he receives something from us. You know what I mean? There's such a thing called Nachas Ruach Lefado. So Rashi is saying, V'tigmo l'rabo o. And I think, Rabosai, that the Rambam really lets the cat out of the bag. He tells us in no, you know, in secret language perhaps, it's codified, but if you decode it, he tells us what this whole sugya and sota is all about. The Rambam says, Al titma, you know, you might be wondering, Vitomar, you say, Ma toil brichas hejon zeh, you know, the Kohen, with all due respect, and it doesn't mean that this Kohen is, you know, the Rashka Bahag, you know, he may be just a portion of guy, you know, he works for a living, he's a sabal, you know, he schleps things, who knows he is. So what do I need is bracha, it's a birchas hedin. So Rambam says something very profound. Says the Rambam, or if you listen carefully, he says, ain kibbol ha-bracha toli b'kohen. You think that you're accepting the bracha from the Kohen, that's a big mistake, he said. Elav HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenemar v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avrachem. God, the Shechina comes through the Etzba'os of Shel Kohanim, and that Shechina is going to bless Klal Yisrael. That's the Sohu et Shmi. The Kohanim are going to recite the name of Hashem. And again, in Migdash Rashi says they said the Shem Amiyuchad. And they are going to bring down the Shechina. V'ani Avrachem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKohanim osim mitzvasan. I mean, after all, the Kohen is also a little embarrassed here. You know, he's a Tzanua, he's an Onov. He doesn't feel that he has the chutzpah to get up and be mevarech the tzibur. But nitztavu bo, that's your obligation. Right? Some kohanim, after they finish the duchnin, they have a minhag, you'll see it in some sidurim, of reciting a sisi mashik azarta olai. So they once asked the Chafetz Chaim, he was a kohen, you know, why do we say such a thing? He says, Reb Chaim Oizer was visiting Radin, you know, from Vilna to Radin. It's like a skip and a hop. And he was in the, and the Chavetz Chaim was tittering, he was shaking. I'm going to get up and I'm going to be Mavarech Reb Chaim Oizer, the Gadol Hador. The Torah commanded me to do it. I'm only doing it because I was commanded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berachamav Mavarech Es Yisrael Kechefzo. Knew if this be the case, if the Kohen is only there to bring the Shechina, but the bracha comes from the Shechina, kol makom asher azkir shmi ovo elecha baraticha, then we begin to understand why the tzibur has to respond with psukim from Sefer Tehillim. Interesting. When the Rambam codifies the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah with regard to shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah, and with regard to the recitation of Malchi, Zichronos, and Shofros, and the Gemara establishes that you have to have 10 psukim, we'll leave out the 10th right now, but there are three series of three psukim. How does the Gemara Rosh Hashanah formulate it? Shlosha min what? Min HaTorah, Shlosha min Hanavim, Vishalosh min Tehillim. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. It says Menaksuvin. But look at the Rambam. The Rambam reformulates the Gemara. If you're careful about reading the Rambam says, the Shalom Vitzarch Lomar Bechol Brach Masorah Psukim. The Rambam says, number one, Shlosha Min HaTorah, number two, Shlosha Min HaTilim, Yisefer Tilim, Shlosha Min HaNeviyah. And then you finish it up, you wrap it up with the 10th Pasuk Min HaTorah. So why is the Rambam feel that he can embellish the Gemara, you know, shed another light on the Gemara by saying that the three psukim are not just three psukim from Ksuvim. Ksuvim is made up of many different parts, but what they have to be three psukim from? Tehillim, because what is Tehillim? Who is David HaMelech? The Navi says who David HaMelech is. Shmuel HaNavi says, Me'im Zemiros Yisrael. David HaMelech, more than any other human being that ever lived on the face, incorporates or personifies Shemach Vodaya, to sing the praises of Hashem, the howl of Hashem. And this is something that the Rav Zichron of Vracha, and many, many moons ago, in his Shiurim for the Yartzad of Gimel Shvat of his father, develops in a beautiful way. He says that this halacha that we have to respond when the Kohanim are Mavarech by reciting Psukim of Tehillim, it's because the people themselves are hearing the bracha. The bracha itself is bringing down the Shechina, and when they hear the bracha and the Shechina is brought down, is present, and the Shechina is bestowing this bracha, they are mekabel mesam bracha, they become obligated lahodos ulahalel Lashem. And he goes on to say, which you'll see on page 3 of the Maamar Kovos that I gave you, that whenever man has an encounter with the Shechina and he feels the Ziva Shechina, that engenders a Chov Ashira, an obligation to break out in a song of praise. He gives the examples of Yitzias, of Kriyas Yamsuf. It says, Zeh Kelev Yamveyu, the Shechina was present, revealed itself, and therefore, Oz Yashir. He gives another example from Parsha Shmini. This is before the death of Nadav Avihu, which was a few minutes later. But before that, the Esh comes down on the day of Chanukah Samishkan to burn the Mizbeach, the carbon on the Mizbeach. Vayar Kalon, they saw the hand of God. This was an unbelievable miracle, sensational. Vayaronu, what is Rina? It says Unkelis Shevach. Uncle says that Rina means Shevach Takovish Baruch, Dibre Shevach. That was the response to seeing this Gilui Shechina. And therefore the Ramban says that the mitzvah of Halal applies on Yontif Midoraisa. Why are we chayav on the Simchas Yontif? So the Ramban pins down the source of the mitzvah of Halal on Yontif to Simchas Yontif. It's a machta. What is it? So the Rav says that Simcha means Lifnei Hashem, V'samachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You feel the Shechina. That's why the entire experience of Yontif is an experience related to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mitzvah of Re'iyah, Sholosh Pam Vashana, because the Shechina is in the Mikdash, and the Levim recite the Shira daily on the Korbanos because of the Shechina that's in the Mikdash. On Yontif, even outside the Mikdash, we feel the presence of the Shechina. We respond by reciting Hallel. On Rosh Hashanah, when we recite, when we blow the shofar and we recite Malchi Zichronus Lifrachos, why is the response to the shofar blowing Malchi Zichronus Lifrachos? There are many different answers to this question, but the Rav's answer is because when the shofar is blown, at that point there is Gilui Shechina. The shofar represents that critical moment when the Shechina comes down. Right? The Chatzotzos were called shofar real with Nei Hashem. And therefore, the Gemara says that the para that you can take for a shofar from a para, from any animal except a para, because the para is in kategor. Why? Because shofar is kilifnai v'lifnimdo. Shofar is an experience of being in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we have to respond with a song of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever the Shechina reveals itself. And that's why in the bottom of your page 2, all of Sefer Tehillim becomes critical, because it's David HaMelech who's been in Zemiras Yisrael. When we recite Zichronos Malchus and Shofros, it's not just 3 psukim from Ksuvim, it's 3 psukim from Tehillim, because that is the Kiyum Shira when we recite Tehillim. And when the Kohanim on the Mevarech, how much more so in the Beis HaMikdash, where this literally the Shema Miyuchad brings down the Shechina, we have to respond with a Kiyum of Hodah, a Kiyum of Shira. That's what Rashi means here in the Masechtas Sota when he says that the purpose of these psukim is Modim Lefanav. We have a Hodah in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't recite these psukim, if we don't respond, then we are Chas V'Shalom ingrates, Kfuyei Tova. Our hearts are hearts of Evan, of stone. We don't feel the great blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't respond to the presence of the Shechina. And here, with this we'll finish up, the Rav says that when the Rambam writes, which is the last source on your page, the third source on your page 2, the Rambam writes, called Kohen, Sheina Ola, Leduchen, Arezeka, over our Shalosh essays. What are these three dimensions of the mitzvah of Birchas Kohen, which the Kohen is not implementing? What is the magic number 3? Rav Soloveitchik insists that there are 3 different parts or dimensions to the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim. Number 1, it's the technical, mechanical recitation of the bracha. And the Kohen has to have kavana that he, by reciting these three psukim, is being mevarech the people. Number two, those psukim have to be recited in front of the tzibur, so that now the tzibur can receive the bracha. That's kabbalas habracha yidei tzibur, and we spoke about Amor Lahem. And number three, the third dimension of Nesias Kapayim is simas shem Hashem, the Yoseim Shmo, onto Bnei Yisrael. What is simas shem HaKadosh Baruch? What does that represent? Hashros Hashchina al kahal anitzov v'shas Nesias Kapayim. And therefore, based on that third element, the third dimension of Sima Shem Hashem al Bnei Yisrael, we, being Mekabel the Baruch, have to respond to the Ma'or Ponim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reciting words of Shira and Halel. And where do these words of Shira and Halel come from? They come from Dovid HaMelech and Im Zemiros Yisrael. This is the great encounter of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael with the Shechina through the Shechina that comes through the Etzbos of the Kohanim. And we could talk about Tainus on another time and the Ila, but basically it's got to be Dovid HaMelech. Whenever the Shechina appears, we respond with Divrei Shevach Vodoyot HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yiratzon Mishmizokhe, to be mekayim all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but certainly the mitzvah of Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina and Hodoyot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amen.
Rabbi,
hold that three different mitzvahs. I don't know if it's three different mitzvahs, but it's three different aspects of it.
Yeah, you're over on three aspects.
Correct.
But
because
Mars is minyan mitzvah.
Right, not minyan mitzvahs. The minyan mitzvahs, the Rambam always combines, you know, many different dimensions into one single mitzvah. But these different dimensions are kiyumim inherent in Birchas Kohanim, in Siyas Kapayim.
You can't force the
Christian. No.